the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the study of which we began from this session, from September, is titled as the Yoga of Action. That is, how to convert our actions into the discipline of spiritual evolution, the discipline that takes us towards the goal of life as human beings. The evolution at the human level takes a very different turn, as told by one of the greatest biologists of last century, Julian Huxley. He described this, that when the tree of evolution reaches the stage of human being, then the evolution is not just physical transformation. It is not a physical evolution then, because we see that many, many animals are more capable physically than human beings. For example, the many animals like cows, they are stronger than human beings. Also, they can fight with many natural disasters better than human beings. They don't have to cook their food. It is only human beings have to cook food. I didn't see any other animal needing to, you know, have a kitchen and cook food. They are self-sufficient in that matter. Just their food is right available there. So, it should be considered that physically speaking, they are better evolved, better equipped to live in nature than human beings. Human beings cannot digest the food that is just naturally available. It is except for a few tribal people who can eat just raw meat, and most of us will not even imagine, you know, just eat raw meat or just a raw grains. We need cooking. So, human beings are from that aspect not really capable of being in conformity with the nature as it is and be comfortable with it. So, other animals can be considered more evolved if we just look at the physique. In strength, a human being is no comparison to an elephant or a tiger, or it is nowhere. So, where is then the superiority of human beings? That comes because of the evolution on a psychological level. The evolution is now on a different track, where the life now is moving in a purposeful manner. There is a purpose for living. It is not just question of living. It is not just the question of survival. It is the question of the goal to be attained. And thus, human beings, they want their actions to be goal-oriented actions, rather than actions compelled through the natural instincts. Human beings feel that their activities should be having a purpose, a goal. So, we think about this. That is actually the source of all religion. Religion Later on, we see them, they get confined into organizational forms and rituals and all that. That is not wrong, that is all right, provided that helps us to feel and go towards that goal. But otherwise, they become just the jarring notes and matters of quarrel amongst each other. So, the real spirit of religion is to show us the goal as human beings and to direct our lives there practically. And when it comes to practice, many aspects of personality and the differences that we have, they come into focus. We just said while meditating that we are all same intrinsically. But in appearance, in our psychophysical constitution, each of us is different. And therefore, our paths also become necessarily different. While the goal is same, to feel that our essential true nature and be established in it, yet the paths to that goal are almost every individual, we can say, from that point of view, has his or her unique religion to follow. Swami Vivekananda compared the human beings as the points on the circumference of a circle and the goal as the center of that circle. A very beautiful analogy. For all the points on the circumference, the center is the same, and yet the path to that center is different for each person. Your path may not be my path, because we are situated psychophysically on a different point on the circle, and the radius that joins the point on the circumference to the center of the circle is therefore, well, your path, if that should be called the path from the circumference to the center, the radius that joins that is the shortest distance, that is the most congenial path for each of us. So it is bound to be different, but if we move along our path, you will see the distance between the radius, different radii, it becomes reduced. It goes on diminishing, and at center, when we reach the goal, it is not there at all. There we are one. So, therefore the path is different for each of us. And this truth is very important to recognize, that we have to follow, each of us has to follow a path that is psychologically suitable for us. And yet, respect, understand and respect that my neighbor, or for that matter my spouse, will have a completely different path to follow. It need not be that there is a kind of a religion of a family. Not necessarily. Two members of a family, they may be living in the same house, but their psychology may be completely different, and different paths will be suitable for them. So, one must learn to understand this fact. In what we were studying, that Arjuna, the disciple, has a question, a very profound question. That question is connected to all of us in more than one way. That we saw that whatever appears to be the goal in our mind, it is so luminous and so lofty in our mind that we feel that it is we should be just right there, forget about doing the action of getting there. We do not understand that going there, reaching that goal, requires molding our life in that fashion. If we do not pay attention to that proper molding, the goal will be just an imagination. So, it has to be a practical science, and so we all ought to follow the means to get to the end. Another thing indicated here is that we all have that problem in life, that somebody else's path appears to be better than my path. What work I have at hand and what I can do seems to be inferior or not very good compared to what my neighbor has. We always will look how happy that fellow is, does nothing. It is excellent, you know, I am stuck with this terrible thing, that let me get rid of this. To be a teacher in school these days is so horrible. It is better to do some other work. It is very nice to do the job in a bank than to be a teacher. You just finish this. A teacher means you have to constantly keep on worrying what the students will do and do your studies and then again the grading and all that, and then students never are satisfied with the grades that they get, the teacher gives. They keep on complaining, you had been too harsh to me. It is, one professor told that always he gets this complaint that you gave me B, I thought I should get A. You gave me B. Professor said, do you want me to regrade you? But I am not sure when I regrade you whether you will retain B or go to C. So it is the grade is professor or teacher in that job, you are always on the job. Really, mentally speaking, there is no rest. So you feel that hey, this is terrible. Let me find out more suitable job. That fellow goes to work in some business and comes back, goes at 8, comes back at 5 or 4, and then he is free. He has no botheration about it. But soon enough the fellow finds out that no, that also has the same if not more troubles, and he is not even skilled to do that job. So we always look, as they say, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That it is, you go there and you start looking, seeing that the grass here is better. So this is a very real problem. The path which is suitable to us to go to the goal seems to be full of troubles, whereas the path of the other person seems to be so nice, very good. Look how happy that person is, very nicely married and has nice children, has no worry on the earth. Whereas I am so miserable, suffering, always I feel restless, and what kind of path am I now have? So you feel that others' life is better than yours. It is not always the case, really speaking. You step into the shoes of others and you will find that they too are not very comfortable. It is others' paths, it is here the psychology is at work. The path that we have to follow and we can follow can alone present problems to us, and therefore we don't want to follow it. The path that we don't want to, or actually is not open for us to follow, is nice because we don't have to follow it. It is not, we are not on that path at all. So that looks very nice. There is a nice story that somebody was selling oranges in the farmer's market there, and he was selling at $5 a dozen. And then other fellow came for, well, you see the other shop, that fellow is selling at $3 a dozen, why you are selling at $5 a dozen? This man said, oh, well, you can buy from there then, why you want to buy from me? Mine is $5. And then he said, oh, I could have bought from there, but he finished this talk. This man said, I will also sell at $3 when I finish my stock. So it is, when you don't have, then it is a different matter. You can say others' path is very nice, you don't have to follow it. It is not open to be followed at all. After your stock is over, what price you put means nothing. You know, it has no meaning at all. It is like that. There is a nice story we used to read when in primary schools in India. I don't know, there must be some similar story in the primary school books here too. That story was about a man who had to do that work. His job was to break the stone into small pieces for the construction work. Those were not the days with all that machinery and automated all that. So actually it was a very laborious work, taking a huge hammer and keep on breaking them. And that too, a fellow has to go into mountains and do it under blazing sun. So in India it's very hot there. So this fellow was doing that work and body was getting scorched in the under that hot sun. So he prayed to God, oh God, what is this situation that you have put me in? Look at the sun, it is scorching me. Why did you not make me sun instead of making me do this horrible, worthless job? What do I earn? A few pennies, somehow I am able to meet two ends meet. Whereas look at that sun, is able to scorch me, superior, much superior to me, make me sun. And God heard his prayers and said, okay, be you sun from now. And it's immediately he became sun in the skies and was very proud of his glory that he can illumine the whole universe. Suddenly he found that his glory or his luminous face is not there. Something is covering it. A big cloud had come. Lord, I thought that I am the best in this cloud, you see. This cloud is superior to me. It is covering me. Can you make me cloud, please? God said, okay, I will do according to what you pray. Be you a cloud now. And that fellow became a cloud. Excellent, so nice. You know, I can cover the whole sky if I want. Wow. But immediately, in spite of itself, it had started moving fast. It didn't want, but it was getting dragged. A big breeze was blowing. So it said to God, God, it is, I was not thinking, it seems, when I told you to make me cloud, this breeze is superior to me. Why don't you make me this nice breeze? God said, okay, be you breeze now. And he started blowing and felt nicely and was with lot of this force, was able to move all the leaves and trees were shaking. When it started moving very fast to show its force, even the trees started getting uprooted. But he saw that, well, there was this big mountain that was not getting moved at all. Lord, I am sorry I have to trouble you again. Why don't you make me this solid mountain, doesn't move at all, unflinching. I want to be rock solid like that. Be you this mountain, dear. And he became that mountain. Was very happy. And he felt the blows on it. What's happening? I'm getting splintered. What is this? He saw a man coming to break it into small pieces. Oh, this man is more powerful. Why don't you make me... Oh, you were that anyway, you see. You were that earlier. So, it is always, the psychology is like that. That you feel that somebody else's position is better than yours. That is depicted in Arjuna's question when he said to Krishna that, Lord, you told, you glorified the path or the state of the knowledge. And yet you are putting me into actions. You tell me that you should fight. Do your duty, and that horrible work like fighting the war with one's own fellow beings. What a horrible work it is. You are putting me into that work, telling me repeatedly, do that, while glorifying the knowledge. What is this? I don't get you. Tell me, what should I do? Be unambiguous. Now we saw that if the two can be done simultaneously, the question wouldn't have arisen. That you can't ask me, you won't ask me, Swami, will you sit or will you talk? Sitting, I talk. There is no contradiction involved, there is no mutual exclusiveness involved in sitting and talking. Whereas in this knowledge and in work, there is this mutual contradiction, mutual exclusiveness is involved. Because the work necessarily means the idea that I am the working, I work. So, you have that ego, individuality, because of which you can work. There has to be a motive power to work. Desires have to be there. In knowledge, there can be no desire. You experience the oneness with the whole existence. So no desire is possible. You have everything there. Everything is you yourself. You cannot have a desire about what you already have. Dipti cannot have desire that may I have 2 ears. Well, you already have ears, so you cannot now desire for that. What you don't have, for that alone, a desire is possible. And thus, the desire is possible only in ignorance. And therefore, work is also possible only in ignorance. There is no work possible in knowledge. It is something that is one has to think about, that how is work possible with knowledge or not. Action is physically seen in people with knowledge, but they have no idea, no attitude, that kind of feel that I am working. There is no I there. Therefore, it is not really work for them. Others see as they are working. But in them there is no idea, no such feel that I am working, that I is gone, no desires, nothing to be accomplished. And thus there is no work possible in knowledge. Just as no further driving is possible when you drive car into your garage, you come back home and then put your car and then now, well, if you drive further, you will hit the wall, break your house. It is not to be your destination has come. Now you have to come out of the car. Now you can't keep on driving the car. So similarly, when you have reached the destination, now working is not possible. And therefore this question is there in Arjuna's mind, that you are glorifying the state of knowledge which is incompatible in principle with work. And yet you want me to be involved in work. So you mean thereby that I am not capable of getting to that stage. And thus you are, I am not getting that being, that superior knowledge is superior, and I am not tuned to that superior level. I am not eligible to practice that. Do you mean that? Nobody likes to be called inferior. It is that you. It is psychologically you feel a little sadness when somebody is shown to be superior to you. There are many in many fields. Somebody is superior. Somebody is inferior. If it comes to evaluation as individual, and if we see that I am inferior to somebody, then I don't like it. Why should I be inferior to somebody? And we therefore avoid that kind of reference, because some words may convey this wrong connotation, that you are inferior. So, like disabled, that somebody may not be able to physically function with all those ordinarily available human possibilities. And so, a term is there, disabled. But because this word gives sometimes the impression on that person that psychologically depressing, that so I am not capable like others. Therefore, the word that is used by psychologists is not disabled, differently able. You are able, differently able. That is the proper word that will gives them the right dignity and the psychological boost, that you are as good as anybody else. You are differently able. Each person is different. Different doesn't mean deficient. It is these two things are to be seen, that being different does not mean being deficient. So Arjuna is feeling that pain, that am I deficient? Is Lord hinting me that as if I am not capable of that? So that is why the question is. and Lord therefore answers it in a very psychologically efficient way that tells Arjuna that this is right for you. And each person is different. What is right for you, you should follow. If, for example, the road by which Shanta comes to Vedanta Society, if Vishwanath also says that, well, I will also have to, that is the good, I will have to take that road. Well, it is not you, you are on a different track, that is best for you. That road is best for her, this road is best for you. You don't have to imitate, that will be counterproductive. That is not right, then you have to go first to where she lives and start from there. Unnecessary botheration. It is not required at all. And your path is not inferior. You are told to follow this path because that is where you live. That is the right path for you. That is the best path for you. That doesn't mean that you are deficient in any way. That is right path for you. It is not the right path for Shanta. It is a different path. Yes, it is good for her. But doesn't mean that you should follow that path. It is like another examples we can give. If you are riding a bike, you have to go by bike path. You say, no, see, that fellow is going on highway, big broad road, I will also go on that. Well, it is next to committing suicide. It is. You will go at a different destination. It is not for you. There is a bicycle path. You go on that. It is bicycle path is best if you are riding a bicycle. If you are riding in a different vehicle, choose the path that is right for that vehicle. You should not, you know, if you are having an aeroplane and you go in the skies, excellent. But if you have a car, you won't say, I want to go in skies. Well, it will be disastrous. Your vehicle is not meant to do that. So, what is best for each individual is different. It is not that one should follow what the other person is doing. But that is a natural tendency, that what somebody else is doing, you want to do that too. In children, that is very obvious. Some time back, we had a family guest, two small sibling sisters were there. One was some 2-year-old, another 4-5-year-old. But they were having the same outfit, same clothes, exactly same. And I asked, well, why you buy exactly same clothes? Well, that is what we have to do. Otherwise, each feels that the other has the better one. So, therefore, to keep the quarrels away, keep the screaming and crying out of picture, what we do is we exactly buy the same. If not available, we don't buy. It is. So, that is what one has to do when we are children. Because that you feel the other has a better deal. So, therefore, when we grow up, those childish ideas about the clothing may disappear, but with many other things they still remain, that the other has got a better deal, the other is more fortunate. It comes very prominently when it is the matter of spiritual practice. Look at the other. Especially the two classes, which are very different from each other. One is the broad classes, the class of householder and the class of a monk, a monastic. Monastic and householders, both have the same right or the ultimately the same goal, same destination that they can each arrive by their own path. But the monastics feel, oh, that householder's path is so nice. What, look at me, I am just Swami and no family support and no this. Look at the householders, how nice, happy they are. And the householder feels that, look, my life is loaded with so many responsibilities. Look at the Swami, nothing, no botheration. It is fine. So it is the problem with all this is that we get stuck because of this. We don't make any progress because of this thought. Because you feel that what you have to do is inferior. And so you don't do it with enthusiasm, with proper focus. You do not do what you can do properly. And what is not with you at all, there is no question of doing it, is it not? So you do not do anything. Basically, you neglect what is with you. And you cannot take care of that which is not with you. Neglect your baby. And somebody else's baby, it is not your care, so you cannot take care of that either. So that is the problem that we all in less or more degree feel. This is a very practical situation. This is where now Lord Krishna's advice comes, therefore in his reply. Lokesmin dvividha nishtha pura prokta mayanagh jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Let me read the translation here. O sinless one, Arjuna, a twofold faith has been declared by me earlier for this human race, the way of knowledge for the Sankhyas and the way of action for the yogis. It is the twofold course is there. It is not that you are feeling the contradiction. And you are right that one cannot follow the other. One is distinct from the other. Yes, you cannot follow both together. Just as you cannot be driving on 95 and some other road together. No, that is, you have to choose one of them that is best for you. And choose means you have to choose the road that you are on. If your car is, say, on 95, you cannot be driving, say, Route 5 in somewhere in California. So it is that may be a nice road, very beautiful, very good, but your car is on 95. So you have to drive. The choice is not there in that sense. So it is whatever your state is, that is that chooses for you. It is not that it is a choice. It is not like choosing a candy. I like this and I like that. Or choosing a particular flavor of ice cream. No, it is not choice like that in this matter. No, I like path of knowledge. I'll go by that. I like path of action. I will go. It is your condition, your state determines that. It is medication, medication is not matter of that whimsical choice, that no, I will pick this medicine. This is, your malady is different, it is, you cannot take that, it is, you are, this will lower your blood pressure, you are already suffering from low blood pressure, you see. So you have to, it is not something that is to be picked by you. Your condition, your state makes the choice for you. So This is Lord tells Arjuna that I have told both these things in the past too. Here the word past has a deeper significance. Past means he has told that in the second chapter too. But from eternity, the knowledge is being given by God from eternity. You find those things spoken of in the Upanishads. In fact, right from the creation, the path also that has been given. So both these things Lord says that I have told it right from the beginning of creation. That there are these two paths in the commentary right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Shankara has given a nice commentary there. There he says that twofold is the path shown by the scriptures. One is for the prosperity of this life, other is for realization of the ultimate goal. Your primarily a person has desires about living a prosperous life. That fellow is not suited for the practice of renunciation. Obviously, because that even in he may take the external signs of renunciation, will not be able to really devote oneself to that, will keep on thinking of improving the condition of the world, and let me have a nice house to live in, let me have, the desires will keep that fellow working. So, there is a path for illumination and ultimately sublimation of these desires through properly channeling the work. Then one comes to the state of knowledge where now it is possible to give up all that. So Lord says, I have told this right in the beginning that these two different paths are there. What is best for a person is not necessarily the best for others. So, you have to follow your path. It is the yogis, that is here, he means those who have to follow this path of action. And they have to work in the proper spirit. Working in the proper spirit is very, very important. The shunning of work will never make us do that. It comes in our minds because the work is felt, it is strenuous. So, giving it up feels like very easy. I get that all the time, that when it is to do some work, I feel, oh, let me just meditate. Because it is the work is to be done now, so I feel I should meditate because the work is terrible, very difficult. I have to put lot of mind and lot of labor to do it. So then to escape the work, I say, let me meditate. That is not meditating, it is just avoiding the work and calling it meditation. Meditation is not avoidance of work. And this is a very commonly seen tendency. That yes, we have to do certain things, and then to avoid that we question ourselves that what is the use of this? After all, the goal is God realization. Why should I busy myself with these things? Let me just meditate on God. Well, introspect. were you doing it out of love for God or just because the work was lot of labor was required to do that work and you wanted to avoid it? By such avoidance, nobody can ever meditate on God. I was just today reading, the purpose was different, but Swami Akhandananda, who was one of the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, brother monk of Swami Vivekananda, and he was telling about this work and meditation. And he says that just by closing the eyes, don't think that you meditate. You have to first learn to feel for others. The more you feel for others, the more you serve others, your heart will expand. And then the knowledge of God will dawn there. It is by closing eyes, what do you see? Darkness and not God. It is when the heart expands, then you can feel that the God who is the truth in everything. And that expansion of heart comes from unselfish work. It is while doing unselfish work one encounters so many problems in us. Various angularities of our personality, they clash. And then we know that they are there. Otherwise, we even do not know that they are there. They need to be just smoothened out. Knowledge doesn't just come automatically. It is when in my room, locked from all sides, I think that I am island to myself, and then you feel a sort of deceptive peace for a few minutes. The tendencies don't let you be there. So immediately the mind starts thinking in all possible devilish ways. It is not that you physically are in the room means your mind is in the room there. The mind starts cursing the world, starts taking pride in one's hey, how good I am. Those people, what do they know? I am meditating on God. What do they? They are all fools. They do not understand anything. Unconsciously, the mind starts meditating on those fools instead of meditating on God. You make a big fool of yourself by doing it. That is not the proper way. There is in many of those, in that book, again and again, Swami Akhandananda refers to this because he is talking to spiritual aspirants and who think naturally. It is very simple that it happens like that. That let me just meditate on God. Close my eyes, meditate on God. Oh, it is not so simple. Swami Vivekananda therefore started so many service works. Because that is not for the betterment of the world as such. You will be able to read the motto of Swami Vivekananda that Swamiji gave to this organization, that Atmano Mokshartham Jagad Hitayacha, for the liberation of oneself and for the good of the world. So you work for the good of the world. That is how you will be able to eliminate all those angularities of personality. You will then be able to feel that the person there is as good as I am. It is as good as I am. We are one. That is why you see Jesus says, And it is very interesting, Jesus does not tell there that it is my teaching. He says that I am quoting the old teaching, that love thy God with all thy mind and all thy energy, all thy life. And the second command is, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is what they are two together to be seen, that love thy neighbor as thyself. And this love thy neighbor as thyself is repeated again and again. Why? Because that is the way to see God, who is the soul of all, the one soul of all. That will, when we serve only one, my body, what happens? I am feeding my body, I am taking care of my body, I am protecting this body, and I see the self only here then. Imagine, you know, when I start serving the other bodies also, seeing the same self there, I will be able to see the same self there also. Thus, my awareness will change. I will expand. And that is the real spiritual growth, spiritual evolution of a person. So, that is what Lord Krishna tells, that you should evolve like that. That is why this is the path. Next verse will tell that don't think that by just giving up the work you will automatically become a person of knowledge or living a monastic life. And even by such thing you do not get the ultimate goal of life. We shall discuss that. Any questions? So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु।